Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Tom.
Why did the dog cross the road?
Why?
To get to the parking lot.
Why does the dog need to be in the parking lot?
The barking lot.
Okay.
Walk, hello!
That was almost perfectly in sync and then I panicked.
And then you panicked.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Walk, hello, everyone.
I am Tom.
I am Taylor. We only do that about half the time.
Yeah, I think we should do it every time.
I know, I mean to, but then I get nervous
just get
and
carried
I forget.
Away.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
We've only done 30 of these, so, you know, it's understandable.
Well, I haven't done that many. I've only done...
I've been here for all of them.
This will be my 11th.
Really?
Yeah.
Happy 11th episode, Thomas.
Yeah. Thank you.
To celebrate, I have a story for you today. Stories. For you today.
Are we going to celebrate every 11th now? So sure. 22nd next time.
I'm not mad.
Cool. Yeah. Let's do it. Sweet.
All right. See you in
What's
11 weeks.
What's your story?
It's from National Geographic. It's called Five Amazing Stories of Devoted Dogs.
Ooh.
Depending on how much I have to like, over them, we'll see how many I get through.
Okay.
But I'll let you know. So the first one is called Jasmine. In 2003, an English policeman discovered a greyhound cowering in a locked shed.
Ooh.
Excellent start.
Yep.
The dog was severely malnourished, filthy, and clearly abused. The policeman took her to a wildlife sanctuary to care for sick and injured animals. And so an act of fate would change the life of not only a dog and a person, but hundreds of other animals as well.
Ooh.
When I first met Jasmine, you could tell she had been emotionally devastated but was a gentle dog by nature. Said the gentleman who founded the wildlife sanctuary.
Yes.
And soon she started nurturing the other animals. Jasmine became famous for playing mother over the years to puppies, foxes, a fawn, 4 badger cubs, 15 chicks, 8
cubs.
Guinea pigs, 15 rabbits, a deer, and one of her favorites, a goose. Bless this dog. Oh. And I'm pretty sure this is the photo of her with the deer.
Oh, my Lord.
Whoa, even Zane
is
schmumble
bowing.
Which is
so, like, the goose and, like, the chicks is amazing because,
right?
Like, greyhounds.
The badgers? Well, I didn't think badgers liked anybody.
But, like, greyhounds are bred for hunting small game and, like, that is small game that they would just be, like, ecstatic over.
Right.
That's so, what a wonderful greyhound.
There are certain things only an animal mother can provide and Jasmine provided it.
No.
Oh, beautiful.
That's beautiful.
She passed away in 2011.
Well, why did you say that?
I know. I debated it, but I just wanted to let y'all know. It was marked, though, by worldwide donations made in her honor to the sanctuary.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww, no.
So it was very sad, but she was a legendary animal.
That's so cool.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Okay.
There is another story called about Pearl. A little enthusiasm can take you far. In the case of Pearl the Black Lab, all the way from California Pound to Haiti. In the animal shelter, at the animal shelter, a group that trained seeing eye dogs saw promise in her, then they got to know her. Halfway through testing her, the rescue said, this dog was way too hyper. So Pearl's owner and handler, said Pearl's owner. That was music to the ears of the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation, since search and rescue missions require around-the-clock work and a wait, I'm just getting going attitude. After arduous training, the pair was deployed in 2010 to earthquake-stricken Haiti. Am I saying it right? It is Haiti, isn't it?
Yeah.
As part of the first ever international canine search and rescue team. The pair also traveled to Japan after the 2011 tsunami.
Wow. So they just like went to disaster sites and just... found people
and
helped
people.
Out.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah. When at home, Pearl accompanies her owner 24/7 as part of the program's guidelines, but she's a work dog. She's not on my lap watching TV at night. We don't go to the dog run to play because she needs to be ready and have the energy for an emergency. but she's so much more than a pet to me. She's my partner.
Aww.
Pearl, a Labrador retriever who lived in a shelter, is a search and rescue dog who helps after natural and man-made disasters.
How sweet.
Do you feel like one more?
Oh, man, I could go for all five.
I know. I'm trying to, I'm like, oh, I want to read all five, but I'm trying not to. How about Chancer?
Chancer sounds great.
The joy a dog can find in comforting the stricken has transformed the Winnicker family, whose adopted son, Isle, displays symptoms of fetal alcohol syndrome. The teenager, who has damage to his brain and central nervous system, experiences rages, delayed emotional growth, sleepless nights, all of which were undoing a family exhausted by a decade of round-the-clock care.
Mm-hmm.
Within 24 hours of being paired with Chancer, a golden retriever, the family's lives were transformed.
Course.
On his first night in their home, he crawled into Isle's twin bed to sleep beside him. After years of nocturnal disruptions, the entire family finally slept until the sun came up.
Aww.
How cool is that?
That's cool.
Now, when Isle has a temper tantrum, Chancer nestles next to him or lies on top of him to soothe him, and the rages don't escalate the way they used to, and they don't last long. Chancer also makes it easier for their family to enjoy relationships with the teenager. I have a child with a severe disability, but a huge kind heart and soul, and it's about making sure we have access to that heart and soul.
Mm.
Chancer helps us do that.
Aww.
Chancer is the first service-trained dog for people living with fetal alcohol syndrome. Service dogs can help children.
What is
fetal alcohol syndrome?
Yeah, let me have a look.
I'm going to guess that it's when the mother drinks during pregnancy and it means that the fetus has alcohol poisoning.
That's a better guess
which
than
affects
I've had.
Their growth and their behavior as an adolescent is going to be my guess. I don't think it's when babies drink
also
too much.
Spectrum disorder, I guess.
Potentially. But I love dogs like that just
yes.
can help calm someone.
Mother exposing an unborn child to alcohol during pregnancy.
Yeah. So
wow.
Obviously not that like one occasional glass of wine that helps with labor, but like a little bit more than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that can affect the child and when they grow up. They can have
ongoing things.
Yeah, a disability that affects their emotions and their behavior and their sleeping, and Chancer helped. So anyway, there's two more stories on there. I'll leave you to read those in the show notes. Oh, but there's a very cute photo of Jasmine with the little tiny little deer. It's smaller than a bird. It's so cute. So definitely go check it out. Have you got a breed for us
today, Thomas? I do. So today I want to talk about German Shepherds.
Have we not done German Shepherds yet?
No.
A travesty.
A travesty
indeed. Tell me all about them.
2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, I was talking about Rin Tin Tin, the most famous German Shepherd.
Oh, yep.
And we were talking about Corgis yesterday, which I guess is the de-evolution of German Shepherd. If we're thinking of Pokemon terms, Corgi evolves into German Shepherd.
It's like a smaller version.
It's a smaller version of the German Shepherd. So obviously, like, I'd be surprised if you didn't know what a German Shepherd was. They're
pretty special.
They're one of the top 10 most famous breeds. In popularity of breeds, I think they're ranked. I had this up just.
Oh, you're looking at the American Kennel Club ratings.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we must do a story on that because it is fascinating.
And they were. Oh. No, where are they?
Oh, Thomas, I need to get you a bookmark for your computer.
They're ranked second. German Shepherds are ranked second in the world for
popularity.
Dogs. So if you don't know what a German Shepherd is, look
it
up.
You're in the minority, friends.
And you are in the minority. These guys are great dogs for a lot of general things. So I've known them as family dogs. I've known them, you've probably heard of them as police dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, field working dogs as well, they've used them for. So they're just all round useful dogs, and they can have the loveliest natures, and they are just wonderful dogs to cuddle. They're not best to be left at home alone because frequently and for long periods of time because they get anxious and bored and are likely to express their worry by barking and chewing and digging and destroying things.
Yep. I feel like German Shepherds are one of those dogs you frequently see out with people while they're working.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's manual labor people take
their dogs to work,
German Shepherds to work.
Because, like, they're really well behaved. They've got great recall. But, like, they also just need to be stimulated, these dogs particularly. So, like, if they're kept around the house for too long, it's It's just boring for them. They just need more going on, yeah, pretty much.
Certainly.
Yeah, so they're active, intelligent. Yep, they must be kept busy learning and playing and working. Daily exercise, both physical and mentally, is a must. So, like, little, like, puzzle games, if you can, with your dog is great.
Puzzle games?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, so, like, one that I play with my own dog all the time is sort of you put him in another room for a little bit and then you hide treats, like, all around the house.
Stop it.
And then it's basically a search and find. You let him out and then he starts just finding them in places and then he gets really excited.
Stop it.
This is a great game to play for, like,
I feel
every
like
dog,
Zola
I
does
think.
Not have the attention span for that. Like, she's not, she wouldn't be dedicated enough. Yeah, she'd be like, I'm just going to sit down.
I think, like, they've got to really like the treat, obviously.
For sure.
So, like, if it's kibble, then they're probably not going to do that. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. That is so cute.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It just gives your dog
a
lot of
entertainment.
Oh my God,
I want to play that with my cats
as well. If you've got a beagle as well, beagles obviously for sense training because they've got, I think, the strongest noses in dog breeds. Brilliant for them.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But back to the old German shepherds.
Yes, please.
They can be very aloof to strangers, so aloof and suspicious of strangers.
They're actually quite a sensitive dog, aren't they?
They are, and they're very protective. They're very human focused. So keep in mind of that when you go out in public, if somebody comes to sort of like, I don't know, even hug you and they do it in a quick way, German Shepherds might get a bit anxious about that.
Oh, okay, so if you make any kind of like sudden
sudden movements towards
right
the owner, I don't think they're necessarily themselves. They would be defensive of themselves, of course. But I've seen them at dog parks as well, and it's sort of like they will fixate on their owners and sort of not really get involved too much in other play and stuff. So... yeah, so just be mindful of that. But otherwise, they're great guard dogs for home. And they're just, God, they're world famous. They've just been known to do a lot of things, like military in World Wars One and Two.
Yeah.
They were used all the time for like Red Cross rescue dogs and stuff. And they're just, and sentry guards and all of this stuff. They're just,
They're very cool.
Yeah.
They're very, I feel like they're so sweet.
They are just lovely as well.
They're just like lovely. Even though they don't really look like cuddly, lovely, kind of sweet.
Oh, they are so cuddly.
Floofers, they're so gorgeous.
They're just beautiful. Yeah.
So good to pat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want one of these.
I want one of everything.
I do want one of everything.
Every time we talk about a new breed, I'm like, I'd like one of those.
Pretty much. But these particularly are like, they're definitely in my top three of
favorite dogs. Wow, top three.
Top three.
That's a good thing. We should do, oh my gosh, I'm getting some ideas.
Yeah.
We should do like a top three.
We need
dog
to do
breeds.
Rankings and send in your favorite ranking.
Yeah, please. And, we should do a poll on
We should do
Facebook
a poll. We should start Paddington Pup, not Paddington Pups. That's where I work. Floof and Papa.
Floof and Papa. Maybe we could. Maybe
rated
we could
dogs,
do,
and we can just like send our information and details.
We could do like a little bracket for 2019 or something.
To the Kennel Club, American Kennel Club.
We'll have a look.
Yeah. Anyway, what are your tips and tricks?
Oh, okay, sure.
Yo.
So for all these dogs and puppies that I'm going to get after learning about all these breeds, I have found a website that helps you name your dog or puppy. So if you're not really sure how to like how to choose a name, and it can be really hard. I remember I was 5 years old when we got our first dog, and I didn't know what to name our dog. I wanted to name her Cherry, which obviously is what you name a black poodle when you're five. But I was at a party and I had a note, like pad and paper, and I went around to every single person at the party and asked them what to name my dog. And finally someone said Bella. And that's the name we chose, which is I think the most popular female dog name now.
Yes,
I think in 1999 it was happening. So
we get
a lot of Bellas.
We get a lot of Bellas
and Mollies,
Milos more so.
Oh, Milos.
But yeah, Mollies who are always border collies. We get a lot of that, I personally am just like, come on. try a bit harder.
My friend's brother just named her Beagle Smeagol. After Lord of the Rings, apparently. I don't know much about Lord of the Rings.
Necessarily mind that because it's Smeagol Lord of the Rings Beagle. And Smeagol, but I don't like beagles.
You're not allowed to not like any dogs. Stop it.
Okay.
Beagles, okay. Another fight for another day.
Fair enough.
When fine. You are naming your dog, do choose a name that you like. You're going to be saying it all the time, so you want to enjoy the sound of it. Don't,
of course.
Don't yeah. pick a name that you is difficult to say or that you don't like
or
hearing.
Or that you just obviously. Dislike. Yeah.
Some people pick like a really regal name and then realize after a while that they don't want to shout it out 20 times a day. But anyway, pick a one or two syllable name. This is what my parents always like taught me to do. They were like, don't pick a really long name because Anastasia is really hard to call out at the dog park over and over. So pick a, and then you shorten it to Stanny, producer Zane tells me. Stanny's a bit odd though. Or Annie. Or Stacia, as we do call our friend Anastasia. We call her Stace. Still, I'm a big believer of you should call your dog and human for that matter the name you actually want to call them. You know, like people that are named John, yeah. but they go by Hank and it's just very confusing. like.
Yeah. Lupin's mother and father were called Graham and Tracy.
That is so normal.
Yeah, they're just like they're the two dogs with names. Human names. Like
Graham and Tracy.
Australian human names for ferret.
That just sounds like, oh, we're going around to Graham and Tracy's for a barbecue
yeah,
on Friday.
Graham and Tracy's for a barbecue. they're always out hunting rabbits.
And you're like,
just,
I'm going to name your son Lupin.
Yeah.
try out the new name for a few days and see how your dog responds. So when they're a puppy, they're not always going to remember everything straight away. Yep. If you pick something, you hate it, they don't respond to it at all, you can always change it. But
like it's important to do it. So like don't call your dog something like Fit. Because if you want your dog to sit all the time, it's just going to be...
Would you believe that is the next tip?
Oh, wow.
Do
how
not
about
use
that?
A name that sounds like a command you plan to teach your dog. It would be confusing to teach Fletch to Fetch or train the stay command to Shay.
Yeah.
So you want to veer away from anything you're going to use as a command.
Yep.
Well done. Name your dogs. Don't name your dog something that others may find offensive or embarrassing.
Yes.
This includes potential racial or cultural slurs, general insults, crass slang terms, and anything that has a curse word in it.
This is just being a good human.
I super hope this goes without saying, but like, please don't name your dog a curse word.
Yeah.
The example they give is, do you really want to call out to your dog poop head and have the whole neighborhood hear it? What will your vet's office call your dog if you name him Fart Face?
The funny thing about that is Lupin's nickname is Poopin. And I often call him Poopin.
Yeah, but it's not
Poopin.
His name.
No.
Still.
Poopin.
Don't pick a complicated name like Sir Fluffy von Wagglestein. Unless you plan to use a simplified call name like Sir or Fluffy.
That's a really specific... Like,
Sir Fluffy von Wagglestein? Wagglestein?
Yeah. Von Wagglestein.
It's very full on. Don't change an adult dog's name unless absolutely necessary. So if you're adopting from a shelter, an older dog, don't change their name unless you're only going to alter it slightly. So Bailey could be changed to Haley or Kaylee. Charlie could become Harley or Farley, but you don't want to have something named Bailey and then change it to like Sir Fluffy von Wagglestein. Because they're just not going to adapt.
Yeah.
Unless you are especially attached to a certain dog name, avoid choosing one of the most popular names. So that is...
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because if you go to a dog park and you need to call back a Bella, for example, chances are you're going to have at least four dogs come walking to you.
1999, Bella was okay. But nowadays, that's lovely if your dog's name is Bella.
It's just insane.
But
it's just
I probably
everywhere.
Wouldn't choose it now. Mm. So it says the names Bella, Bailey, Max, Molly, Buddy, and Lucy are just a few of the most popular dog names. This is sure to change over time, so do some research first.
Yeah.
Something like Lupin is... great because I have never met a dog or a person
called
Lupin. It's
not too many syllables to call out. It's not too embarrassing to call out. Mm. It's quite good. Also, just like I guess keep in mind as well, like I've heard of like rescue dogs. They don't always give the best names to rescue dogs at the shelters, probably because they've got to name so many dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But like don't be afraid that the dog is going to be like stuck to that name. They can actually adapt and change.
They can adapt. Just watch the age and how long they've been used to it.
But like clearly if it's not working after a couple of weeks, I would suggest maybe either thinking of a new name or sticking back to the old thing if you really want them to respond. Except like it is, old dogs do learn new tricks in that regard. They figure out what they can come
to. What they need to know. Yeah.
So...
Some people like to get multiple dogs and name them after famous duos like Abbott and Costello, Moe, Larry and Curly. Others use phrases like sugar and spice or peanut butter and jelly. I used to know someone who had dogs that were named after like different alcohols. So they had like Kahlua and Tia Maria and stuff like that.
We had Jägermeister, a dog. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
They just called him Jäger for short, or Meister sometimes. So.
While these can be cute and funny, you also need to consider how you like each name separately. The two dogs might not always be together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wish to give your dog a name that also belongs to a human family member or friend, you should ask that person how they feel first.
Again, I think it's just being a good
just
human being
sensible.
About it.
Uncle Herbert might be amused that you wish to name your Basset Hound after him, but Cousin Annabelle might be offended if you choose her name for your Maltese. So funny. Consider your dog's appearance and personality. You can choose a descriptive name like Dottie for a Dalmatian, Shorty for a Dachshund, or Happy for a jovial mutt.
Keep in mind, though, that this is not reading the article. You're going to find a lot of matchups again.
But
so
this
like
has
Dottie,
been done many times before.
Yeah, there we go.
It's literally
it's basically
the rest
like
of the
I'm reading the article.
I know. On the other hand, it can be cute to pick a name that describes the opposite of your dog, and I love these.
I love
Tiny for a Mastiff or a Tiller for a little Yorkie.
I like Zeus for like really clearly not Buffy or scary animals.
Or like really big dogs that are called like Nacho. Like,
yes.
So funny. You might get the idea for a name because it reminds you of a certain place, incident, or item. For instance, a dog found as a stray puppy at the Home Depot might be named Depot. That's a bit random. God, a dog born or adopted in the spring can be called Petal or Blossom.
Okay, that's better. I was glad that they didn't go
Petal,
spring.
I want a puppy named Petal.
That is a pretty cool name.
I once knew a dog. This is not me. This is the article. I once knew a dog named Converse because the Converse shoe was the first thing the puppy chewed up. Some people like to name their dogs after celebrities or historical figures. No. You might choose Brahms or Mozart or Beethoven.
Beethoven.
Is that not a super
famous,
obvious one?
That's a famous Bernese Mountain Dog.
Yep.
Is
he a Bernese Mountain Dog or is he a St. Bernard?
Oh, no, he was a St. Bernard. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
For shame, sir.
Sorry.
Even
they're quite similar, though.
They are similar, yeah. Sports fans might pick the first or last names of their favorite players. Kobe.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Literature enthusiasts might name a dog after their favorite author. Oh, my God. Can I please have a dog named Salman Rushdie? But, like, entirely Salman Rushdie.
Entirely
Salman
Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie. Like, the whole time. Sorry. I'm just reading about Salman Rushdie before.
What about, like, characters in movies?
Yeah. Okay, this article up? What the heck? I have met dogs named after famous actors or memorable characters they played. Another fun idea, if you like the idea of a theme, is to name your dog or dogs after something you enjoy. Wine enthusiasts might consider Merlot or Riesling.
My boss's dog's name is Burger, and their second dog they were considering calling Fries.
Burger,
which is just brilliant.
Has he got some burgers?
Burger
in front?
Is also just adorable. So
stop. Yeah. Oh
just
my gosh. I know a dog called Mocha. The dog at Zola's
Mocha.
Grooming salon. Is it a Chinese crested with ears?
No.
Oh, never mind. I know a different Mocha then. She's got some full on ears, that dog.
Yep,
coat hanger. Scientists could name the dog after chemical elements.
Yep.
One dog owner I know who was really into cheeses. She had named Roquefort, Stilton and Limburger. No matter what you name your dog, make it a name you like and one that your dog responds to. As long as you're pleased, who really cares?
Yeah, that's it.
So anyway, that was a bit of a briefing on how to
name your
dog.
As long as you're pleased and not being offensive to people in your family or otherwise.
Yes.
Yes.
Poor Uncle Herbert.
Oh, poor.
Herbert is such a cute name for a dog
poor,
now too, though.
Poor Cousin Annabelle,
I guess. I want Herbert the Basenji and Petal the Corgi. Or Whippet. No, I want a Whippet called Corgi. A Whippet called Corgi. A Whippet called Petal.
That's
Petal.
Also just out there. That's a brilliant, brilliant way of naming your animal as well.
Just name them after opposite breeds.
Oh, well, like even just being like, oh, this is my dog. What's his name? Cat.
I read a book. One of my favorite books when I was a kid growing up had a dog in it called Chicken.
Yep. Yep.
Because he was like yellow and red.
I've met a couple of dogs called Bird, actually.
Random.
Yeah. Just.
I love that. I'm like, this is my poodle. His name is St. Bernard.
Yes.
But Bernard's kind of a name. Not as funny. Not as funny.
Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's what I've decided, okay. Everybody. I'm going to have a Basenji named Herbert and a Whippet called Petal. Thank you very much. Yep. Bye.
Cool. Righto, you can and find us.
I'm going to go get those dogs. But in the meanwhile, Tom's
you can
tell you
find
about
us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are the Floof and Papa podcast. And you can
Papa.
Search That's Not Canon Productions, and you can find us easily.
Yeah, thanks and, for having us once yeah. again.
Thank you for having us again, Zane. And Bork, Bork, goodbye.
Bork, Bork, goodbye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.